Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. How say you time? Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Hey, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Let me touch on something, clarify something quickly before we start taking your calls at 866-901-ADAM. I was reading the message board. Folks up in arms about my choice in automobiles. You know?
Oh, really?
Well, I'm a snob because I don't like American cars. There's not really many American cars I've ever really liked. I'm a huge a-hole because I don't like Corvettes.
Oh, right. That came up. Yeah.
Let me say a few things. Corvette, bang for your buck, is one of the best cars out there. That doesn't mean I have to like it. It's not all about what does zero to 60 in the best time for the cheapest price. There are many other things involving my love of cars, and none of them are practical. It's like when you collect anything, you don't do the, you know, I don't care if it's art, I don't care if it's baseball cards, I don't care if it's comic books, I don't care
shoes.
If it's furniture, I don't care if it's shoes. Very good point with shoes. Carrie Bradshaw would never just get the most practical shoe. It's like somebody going, oh, those Manola Blancs? Yeah, those are $400. These flip-flops are $4, and they're twice as comfortable.
Why would you
not want these hush puppies?
Right. That's the whole point to collecting something, by the way. It's not supposed to be, this is the most practical, this is gets the best mileage, this is the whole idea that these European cars from the 60s are temperamental and they're like, fine watches that need to be wound every day. And yes, I could get a Timex. I understand it. That's kind of the point with collecting. So
you're not going to go jogging in your Jimmy Choo's.
Yes,
you know, walk them around the block. It's
people, people pronounce shoe differently around here. No, people. When did you get Latin on my ass? No, what I wanted, you know, people do that sort of thing all the time, and they go, "Oh, a 12-cylinder car? Did you really need 12? And you live in L.A. When are you ever going to go 200 miles an hour? Of course. What are you ever going to do with that Henry Aaron baseball? You're never going to play catch with it."
Right.
You put it in a Lucite case, you put it by the front door, and you talk about it. You never take it out of the Lucite case. It's actually weird to me that people that have comic books that they'll never open, trading cards they'll never trade, stamps they'll never apply to an envelope, or baseballs that are signed by Babe Ruth that they'll never play a game of catch with, and they're pointing a finger at me, they're wagging a finger going, "Well, how often do you drive that old Lamborghini? Doesn't sound very practical to me." Well, the answer is more than you play catch with your Hank Aaron baseball.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out from you, actually, that a lot of your automotive investments have sort of been practical and that they've gone up more than, say, if you invested in the stock market or maybe fine art.
Yes, there's another side of it, which is you looking at these just like real estate or just like art or just like anything else and saying, I don't think you should buy something. Well, no, I'll take that back. It's your business if you want to buy something purely to make money. For me, I have to like it, and it'd be nice if I made some money on it, too. But there's a certain pride when the car you bought for $100,000 2 years ago is now worth $300,000. Yes, that makes it a little better. And when you pull out the checkbook next time, it makes it a little more palatable. It makes the wife okay with it. It makes you okay with it, because otherwise it seems insane. But just a quick note so everyone knows where I'm at. I have no problem with the Corvette. It's plenty of bang for your buck. I don't happen to like the fit and finish of a lot of American cars. They look good going by at 100 miles an hour. But when you get in them and get up on them oftentimes, and this is, by the way, I'm not including trucks in this because if I'm buying a full-size truck, I'm going to buy an American truck. And there are many other vehicles. If I owned a company that was taking people to the airport and back, I'd buy a whole bunch of town cars.
I had a Taurus for years. Loved it. It was great.
Taurus is one of, there's a handful of American cars that have a little, European flavor to them that I don't mind. And and American cars are making a nice strong comeback. But for me, my favorite cars are Italian cars from the mid-60s. It's one of those things. It's like, what Playboys were you looking at when your first pube popped? For me, it's about the time I was born. Those are the cars I like. I like the Ferrari Lusso from that time, the Ferrari GTO. More in a more modern day era, if you guys are interested in some of the cooler cars I like the Aston Martin DBS, which is coming out soon. You guys can all Google those. James Bond's new ride.
You enjoyed that before James Bond.
I liked. I've always liked the Aston Martins. I've always liked the Ferraris.
Bond's been driving Aston Martins since the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Although he
I feel
switched,
like I've just heard of it all of a sudden.
He switched to a Lotus for one movie.
The Lotus Esprit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Explain the Lotus to me.
Well, it goes underwater and becomes a submarine.
Yeah.
Is that why it's so popular?
Yeah. The real car just goes underwater and doesn't become a submarine.
Right.
You could drive it off a pier all you want. Does not become a submarine.
If you hadn't mentioned it.
Had that problem in 1981. We bought a new Esprit. Yeah, right. Lotus Esprit. Lotus is a legendary name out of England. It's another English car. There's a whole bunch of cars like Lotus and Aston Martin that have barely stayed alive over the years. Had many different owners. Many, you know, they've been in trouble, but they've been around. Jag's been in trouble for a while. Aston Martin was in trouble. Lotus was in trouble. They find that somebody comes in, throws some money at them, and they get back on their feet.
So Lotus is an English sports car.
Yes.
They seem to be sort of popular around here with people?
They're making a comeback. They have made a comeback with a couple of new models, and that's a fun car. Favorite car, probably a BMW M3.
Ooh.
What's that all about?
Also a Bond car.
It's, it is.
Thinking GoldenEye, he drove a BMW.
I'd be very surprised. It's possible. I'd be surprised here. Here's what I like. I like finesse more than just brute force. It's not all just about cubic inches and putting the biggest engine we can put into the smallest.
How are you ever
going
to host Top Gear when you don't know anything or have any opinions about cars?
All right. I just wanted to clear that air. Now, some of the cars that are out there, I'll throw you American car lovers a bone.
Okay.
I like the 65, 66 GT350 Shelby. But for the most part, here's my problem. The American muscle cars that everyone's so enamored with, when you get in them, a lot of vinyl and plastic and bad knobs.
You mean the Corvette, but are you talking about others?
Oh, Corvette's the best of the bunch. I'm talking about the Barracuda. I'm talking about everything from Mopar, Dodge's, Chrysler. Those Ford, even the Mustangs, the legendary Mustangs, crappy-looking cheap cars, which they were, that then get a souped-up package to them. And everyone falls in love with them. And super old technology, straight axles, push rods, iron blocks, not finesse cars.
You do occasionally see a turned-out Mustang that looks cool.
You can make anything look cool. And by the way, if you gave me $5,000, I could make something that went fast down the quarter mile. I'd just get a Chevy 350 small block and put a bunch of, make it a 13-to-1 compression and run racing fuel on it. Same, just like you told me.
Right,
run
that's how I mentioned.
Run the 750 double pumper.
Definitely the double pumper.
On the high rise. look, my tastes are my tastes. That's A number one. They're better than yours. I'm sorry. And if you take a Corvette and you get into a Corvette and you sit in a Corvette, the fit and finish looks like a cheaper $20,000 European car.
Brian?
All I know is that James Bond drove a BMW Z3 in GoldenEye.
Oh, it should have been a.
He drove a Z8 in
Z8.
The World's Not Enough.
That's right. When I was thinking,
the BMW's a new thing in the newer Bond movies.
It's funny. I blocked that out because I was in my coupe M3 mode, not my two-seater, open-seater mode that you're in. But anyway, newer cars, Ferrari 550s are out there, kind of cool. If you're going used and you got 90 grand to toss around.
What if you want to buy a BMW? Why should you buy an Audi instead, or should you?
I will say this about the BMW, in my opinion. They have a certain je ne sais quoi. I think it's because the engines are set a little further back, a little lower. I don't know what it is, but when they say ultimate driving machine, they mean it.
Girlfriend just bought one.
An enthusiast car. Loves it. 3 Series?
Yes, 328i.
They drive better than other cars drive. I don't know why. A lot of technology and a little mixing of pixie dust. I don't know what it is, but I happen to love BMWs and the M Series especially. So there it is. I like the European thing. Look, I guess it's this. I don't like Pam Anderson. I don't like fake boobies and bleached hair.
I like
Gina Lola Brigida or Sophia Loren. I don't know what it is. That's what I like. I like darker hair and curves and a little more going behind the eyes. That's me. That's why I like the European stuff for the most part. And a handful of Japanese
You're
cars
gay
as
for
well.
Saying that.
Barbara?
Yes.
What's happening?
Well,
but wait a minute. Hold on a second. Here's what I'm saying. Don't go on the message board and explain to me that the Corvette Z06 does a better 0 to 60 time than the BMW M3 and is $4,000 cheaper. That I'm not interested in that. It's not all about numbers. Do you understand? Because when I climb into the car and it has kind of a crappy interior, that's what ruins it for me. You understand? It's not. I have plenty of cars that are way too expensive and not nearly as fast as the Corvette. That's not what it's all about. It's like you were talking about with the shoes, T. All
right, yeah, there's an aesthetic.
That's my point. Barbara?
Yes, hi.
Hi, what's happening?
I want to tell you, first off, I think your show is brilliant. Ooh. Love it. Every morning.
Wrong!
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I think the mistake of putting kids in preschool very early is rampant in our society.
How does it work? Why?
Well, because the first 5 years of your kid's life, it's critical that they be with their parents. They imprint on their parents. They learn.
Well, I'm not going to be around school or not.
Right. Substitute the word nanny.
Yeah.
Well, you know
it's
what?
It's critical they be with Olga during those formative years.
I'd really encourage your wife to just, buckle down and be with the kids. I speak from experience. I've got 2 fantastic kids. You know, I don't live in a really...
All right, but what about, I don't know, what about that part where we're supposed to get them out and socialize with other kids? And by the way, it's a few hours a day, 3 days a week or something. You don't drop them off. It's not military school.
Right,
God, that'd
right,
be awesome.
Right.
They have military school for toddlers?
I don't think so.
Why not? I feel like Sonny could hold a gun.
That's okay. That's okay later on.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Mm.
3 years old, 4 years old, a couple more a week. But this, you know, and by the way, I'm a yoga teacher. Mm. That baby yoga is a bunch of baloney.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know. They're going to live in a world. I got to tell you, I'm going to be doing a lot of crushing of participation trophies when my kid comes home, because I'm going to have to be the voice of reason in the Corolla house, because they're going to go out in school and they're going to get in the down dog position, and then they're going to get a participation trophy for being the 33rd best in their class of 35 at doing the down dog position, and then they're going to come home and they're going to hand me the trophy and they're going to go, Papa, look what I got. What is this? And I don't see first place on this thing. And they're going to go, no, everyone gets one. I'm going to go into the disposal.
You must be first, second, or third, or Daddy doesn't want to see it.
That's right.
Really
second is first
them,
loser. Thanks.
If you really want to have for them, use your real trophies to crush their participation trophies.
That's good. That's some great Santini type stuff there.
Daddy's going to take his best defensive player from high school and tackle your participation trophy and then do a crazy Sean Merriman lights out dance over it. All right. Someone says I'm not being a snob. Terry?
Yeah, Adam.
How say you, my friend?
Well, here's the deal. You are not a snob because you dislike Corvettes. You're a snob because in some aspects of your personality, you're a snob.
All right.
You don't like, you think that, you know, all traffic laws don't apply to you, which is fine. You know, and, you know, Teresa and Brian would probably jump to your defense and go, oh, no, Adam's not a snob. But, I mean, snobs have
No. Well, first off, hold on a second. I don't say all traffic laws don't apply to me. I will tell you this. I would never do anything that put anyone else out or in danger. You know, they do that thing where it's like no parking from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the right line lane because it's traffic hour. I would never park my car in that situation. I would never do anything that put anyone else in danger. There's unnecessary traffic laws out there that actually put me in danger when I'm sitting in the middle of an intersection at 4 a.m. waiting for a red light arrow to turn that never turns, and then I'll do it. Yes, I'll tell you what I do when I interpret my laws. It's the same thing. There's many laws that you break every day, and you probably don't even know it. There may be even laws you break in your bedroom. The point is Bill heads back to his West L.A. apartment and breaks 1,000 laws. Point is it doesn't break any of our hearts. We don't care. It doesn't put anyone out. That's for you to interpret, and that is, by the way, a very American thing to do, by the way. But go ahead.
No, the point is that doesn't make you wrong about Corvettes. It's just your personal taste. Everybody's got taste.
Nice to talk
to
you.
I know, but some people have bad taste. That's what I'm saying. I don't respect everyone's taste.
Exactly. But I mean, the fact that you have to almost feel the need to apologize for it, it's like, no, that's who you are. It's like,
okay.
I don't have to like Corvettes.
All right, thanks, Terry.
We'll be back.
All right, I felt like there was a backhanded compliment. What I'm trying to put across is not an apology, but what people often do, and T knows this very well, but everyone knows this well, you try to make a point. You say the Corvette is a lot of bang for the buck, but I don't like the fit and finish. And then you read all over the message board, that Corvette could kick the crap out of his M3 in a drag race. That's not my point. I said a lot of bang for the buck. I said fast car. I said good track car. But that's not where it ends with me. I like to sit in a car and look at a bunch of good switches and knobs and sit in a cool seat and see some nice leather and gauges. And American cars fall short oftentimes. Catching up, by the way, and it's a great example of why we need to have sort of open board, open trade, and how competition brings out the best in everybody. If anyone wants to know how the free market works, American cars, when we had a monopoly, we were starting to bottom out with the American cars. Sure, there was some competition between the big three, but once we narrowed it down to the big three, and before Japan came in, and while fuel prices were nice and cheap, we were making some of the crappiest cars on the planet. The Japanese came in, they made more efficient cars, they made more durable cars, and what did America did? We did what Americans do. We didn't fold tent and head home. We upped our ante. The Japanese kept going, and I feel like we've been chasing them for about the last 30 years, and the Germans as well. Italians, not a big enough factor to factor into this market, or the English either, and I think America has, if not caught them, at least it doesn't matter anymore. I say to people, they go, what kind of car should I buy? What's the most reliable? What's the most durable? And I go, you know what? They're all good. Right. What's the difference between a 9.1 and a 9.6? Either way, you got 100,000 miles before your first, you know, warranty and 10,000 miles before your first scheduled oil change. Who cares if it's American, Japanese, or whatever? And by the way, everything's being made in Canada and Mexico now anyway, even if it says, you know, Toyota's being made in North Carolina and GM's being made in Mexico, so who cares?
Well, people care about your opinion. That's the good news.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. Back with the rest of your calls on any topic you'd like next.